Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 461 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thinking Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy Halloween, Nick.
Happy Halloween indeed, everybody. It's Wednesday, my dudes. Awesome. On this episode, we've got some new patrons. We got some LeagueCast news, including a little wrap-up review of a very fun tournament that we hosted this past weekend. We've got some Samurai Rising news, a small patch, and Ruined King gameplay. A couple of stories. We've got a spicy cheese pick that Aiden so finally selected for us. Mm-hmm. We've got some LCS format changes that we're going to talk about, roundtable, and we're going to close it out with a couple of emails. Aiden, why don't you tell us about your week? Why don't you tell us about Colton's week? Tell us how Colton's week went.
Let's do that. Aiden, tell us about my week, buddy.
Your week was bad. You played a little bit of Overcooked, I saw. But then other than that, you hated it. You hated the week.
Yeah, yeah. Every moment that I wasn't playing Overcooked was pure misery.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that was pretty much. I mean, I played Overcooked, a little bit of TFT. I'm getting geared up for the holidays, need to wrap some presents and whatnot, but not a whole lot going on here in my house. Do I get to guess what Nick's been up to, and then Nick can guess what you've been up to?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna use some context clues from earlier tonight. Nick has been very busy at work this last mm-hmm. week, preparing for the end of the year. And he's been playing probably Cyberpunk. Have you
wrong?
Dang. Okay, I'm wrong about that.
I think I've played like 2 hours since last week.
Okay, not because but you it's have bad. Been playing some.
Yes, a little bit.
You've been playing more of that than anything else.
No.
League of Legends.
No.
Oh, what have you been playing, Nick?
I've been playing Breath of the Wild.
Lame.
Game's good.
Yep, and that's Nick's week. You know, just working all the time, goes home, works some more, just goes to bed wearing a suit and wakes up and he's all grumpy and he just pulls out his calculator and he says, time to do some accounting.
What else Aiden is in had your week, a... Nick? Oh, I wanted to hear actually what was in your week, like, if there's anything else.
What else happened this week? Oh, I finished, wait, was that last week or this week? I can't remember. I think it was this past week. I finished all of my schooling, so I'm officially done. That's it. No more work in school, Cooper. Just work, Cooper, now. I played some League of Legends. Aiden and I played a cheese pick that I don't know if it's good. I think it's good. I think that's about it. Am I missing something?
I think that's it.
Oh, and we hosted our... Well, I guess we'll talk about that momentarily, yeah. But I think that's pretty much it. Aiden had a 10 out of 10 week. He went skydiving. He went Rocky Mountain climbing. He went...
What?
No, I'm not going to fucking say anymore.
What movie did Kennedy and I just watch today?
Today? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it Christmas related?
In the fact that it's cold.
You guys watch Snow Dogs starring Cuba Gooding Jr.?
That's a really good guess. No, it's an animated movie with animals.
You guys watched Balto.
No.
Does that one have snow in it? Okay, I don't know.
We watched Happy Feet, dude.
Ooh, there we go, there we go.
Happy Feet's a dog penguins. Shit movie.
But he's you know there's a so sequel? Happy.
There's a sequel of that movie. I learned that today. But yeah, that movie is like actually bad. The plot line just goes nowhere. It's insane. But yeah, we kind of, you know, just finished watching that. She thought it was like really, really bad. And now I'm starting to think it's pretty bad.
Wait, was it your suggestion?
We had no internet for like an hour or two. So we were looking through like a bunch of old DVDs and our options were like Shrek, Shrek 2, Shrek 3, Happy Feet.
And you elected to go with Happy Feet.
Yeah, no, we had like a bunch of like old DVDs like that. So Happy Feet was one of them and she's never seen it. So
I see.
Yeah. Awesome. Other than that, though, League of Legends a little bit. Hosted a tournament. We'll talk about that in a minute. A little bit of TFT. Kenny and I have been playing with Trevor. Trevor's trying to learn how to play TFT. And then outside of that, I don't think I've done much. We started playing Overcooked, Trevor, Kennedy, and I. So that was fun.
Nice. How's that going?
It's like we only played through the first like world, I guess, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We finished our For the King. Yeah. We finished our For the King journey though.
Nice.
Beat all the campaigns and stuff. And it was fun.
How many hours do you have in it? Since you've started.
Now I have like 40 something, but like I think we played like 26 or something between.
Oh, that's not too many actually. I thought it was going to be way more than that.
We only took two attempts on the first like campaign, then one attempt on the other two. Yeah, it's good though.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's about it for my week though.
Nice. All right. I assume Colton, did you want to add anything? We kind of skipped over your week.
No, I mean there wasn't a whole lot going on in mine. It was mostly just like I said. I mean I played a lot of Overcooked with Warren and Rick, and we've been having a great time. One of the expansions, the Hangry Horde, is actually pretty fucking difficult. They've got some like pretty hard levels. And like I'm sure going back and attempting to four star a lot, like any of those would be, well, they're not like all super hard, but there was a couple where it's just like getting three stars took us like four or five attempts.
Dang.
But no, I've been really liking Overcooked, and I am excited to play through the rest of them as we've kind of just been going through all the expansions now, and then maybe someday there will be an Overcooked 3 on the horizon.
Ooh, that'd be pretty sick.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah. It's just a like well-made, I don't know, game to
keep it's so designing. Fun. Yeah. Nice. But yeah, that was my week, so I guess we can go into the new patrons.
Yeah. Shout out to Josh, but Cody and Thomas for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you so much. And speaking of Patreon, I believe this past week we had a Zed Talks go live, right, Aiden?
We did. Whatever the fuck the last month's
I think it's the
was.
End of the K champions.
Yeah, Kane through Kogma.
Mm-hmm. So pretty exciting.
Check that out on YouTube if you're not a patron. And if you like that, then you should go sub on our patron for $1, and you can listen to our next letter in the alphabet after K's. Which
one
is
single dollar.
L?
What do we do?
L, yeah.
Because we talked about leasing.
Mm-hmm.
Sick. That's... Oh, and we hosted our tournament this past weekend. It went extremely well. The format worked fantastically once we all understood the rules, me included.
It's a little scuffed to begin with, but I also think that's because we had probably too many teams for us just to put games together and then spectate. So I think if I'm going to do it in the future, if I'm going to have more than 16 teams, I probably need one person just dedicated to fucking putting rooms together.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think the format was fun. I think most people enjoyed it. It was pretty solid. Most people showed up. It was good.
I lost my first game, so the format is sucked and it's rigged. And the hosts kind of suck, so that's my opinion.
We had like 65 viewers at one point on our Twitch.
Yeah, we had a lot of viewers, and they were watching us set up games for an hour before we watched any League of Legends. So that was pretty sick.
Don't you know tournament administration is the number two most popular category on Twitch?
Right after just chatting. Sick. I think that's it for LeagueCast news.
Yeah.
So let's get into the Samma Rising news. We have Ruined King gameplay. Boys, did you see this?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I saw the video exists. I haven't watched it yet. I'm gonna watch it right now. I'll let you guys chat.
So it looks sick. Also, so what I understand, so it's a company that makes a game called... Fuck, what's the game called? Shit. Battle Chasers, I think. Battle Chasers Night War, I think, is the name of the game. That's the company, like, that's their other popular game. And apparently it's just, like, literally, like, an asset flip version of that game. But people fucking love that game. So.
It looks very similar to a, almost like a, it's like a mobile game format, I want to say.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like a turn-based, but... like a 3D, it's almost like a team battle in Pokemon, but with League of Legends champions.
I just linked you like a clip from their other game, Battle Chasers, Night War. It obviously is not an asset of the fact that there is a fucking League of Legends story in it. But I mean, like, gameplay wise, it's literally like the exact same format as these games. And apparently these games are like really, really well put together. So
interesting. Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
I'm pretty hyped for this. It looks pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it's gonna be single player, which is right up Colton's alley.
Mm-hmm.
Colton can grind away.
Yeah, I can somehow have 30 hours in 24 hours after the game comes out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So next up we have patch 1025B, which is set to go live today.
Yeah, it's live today, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, oh.
Dude, it's fucking funny, man.
Sorry. Danny Stormit in our chat posted the list of confirmed champions for the Rune King. It's Misfortune, Alawi, Braum, Pyke, Ahri, and Yasuo. So, looks pretty cool. I could easily see them adding characters whenever. So, definitely room for expansion.
Figure out if there's actually patch notes for this. Because I clicked on the patch notes list that I linked, and it's literally patch from last week.
Yeah, yeah. It's right at the top. It says mid-patch updates.
Oh, it's just okay. It's just like a little thing. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just run through this real quick and then talk about how dog shit these changes are.
They're pretty bad.
So we'll do that. So these are, the meme's back, boys, because my client's not open. I don't know if it's up or not, but whatever.
It is, yeah.
Akali's getting some nerfs. Her move speed mark damage on her passive are getting reduced a little bit, but still should be pretty strong.
You're fine to run through them. They're
E Frostbite. So Anivia, her E base damage is down and the mana cost is up. Galio's W cooldown is up. Holy shit, by 4 seconds at max rank. That's crazy. Gangplank, holy shit, they're busting him. Plus one base AD growth. Kane. This is the champ we'll talk about. Base armor is getting reverted, and the Q base damage is getting reverted as well. So the only Kayn nerf that is still in effect as of last patch is the 1 second cooldown increase on his Q. Malphite is getting base magic resist lowered. Misfortune had a W bug fix, a pretty big one actually, where W attack speed would not increase with rank, which is what you max second. So that's crazy. And then a bug fix for Gun Goddess Misfortune's visual effects. Olaf's Q, the slow increases flattened, so it's lower early, but the same amount later. And the W attack speed is lowered 5% across the board. Rel, her E would incorrectly prioritize targeting herself rather than snapping when used with other abilities. They're changing it so she can't target herself with E within 3 seconds of taking damage from a champion, casting another ability, or basic attacking another champion to avoid this problem. Interesting. The Collector is getting a bug fix. Iron Spike Whip is getting a bug fix. And Sunfire Aegis, they are finally nerfing the damage on it. And that is all the changes that we have so far.
Want to talk about Kayn for a second?
I want to talk about the Iron Spike Whip bug fix just because, like, apparently there's a bug that reduced its cooldown to zero.
That's
when it got
fucking
moved.
Funny.
When the slot is moved.
Wait,
like,
and the items it builds into.
Yes.
So this
yes.
is affecting Gore Drinker too.
No, exactly. Crazy. Like, I'm just imagining Holy. This happening, someone trying to figure it out and replicate it, and then you just have like an Olaf running in with no cooldown Gore Drinker, just spin, kill everything.
Jesus.
It's kind of hard though, because you have to move it in your slot while clicking around.
Oh, yeah, was that how it worked? Is that when you
it says when would reduce zero when moving slots in your item inventory. So I'm assuming it's like if you move it like from slot one to slot two, it reduces the cooldown to zero.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
I was thinking maybe it was just like if you like bought Iron Spike Whip and then you like moved it and then bought like the upgrade or something or like.
No, I think it's literally
like, one to five to three to two and then like it's just locked at zero. I don't know. It's Riot Code. Who knows?
Yeah, that's
it
fair.
It sounds like you just move it and it doesn't count.
And it goes down. You just got the
that's
crazy
the fucking cooldown is fucking inventory slot bound.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. All the other changes seem fine. Whatever. Kane's the big one. So his win rate spiked hard. We can admit that.
Yes.
Let's see. Hang on. I just want to pull
here's the
number
thing, though,
quick.
Nick.
Go ahead.
So, like, I didn't think the nerfs last patch were that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They lowered his armor by 3. They lowered his Q by 10, right? And they lowered his cooldown of it by 1, I think? Or did it scale down?
I think it was 1 flat. And then the only thing is, like, the Q is 10 on both applications, so kind of 20, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's 20 and then 1 second off of, like, a pretty consistent damage roll. Either way, I didn't think they were, like, gutting him nerfs, right? And I still think he's, like, not bad. That being said, man, his win rate did go from 2nd in the game for jungle to 39th because of those nerfs.
Yeah, he is 2nd to last, only above Trundle in the jungle.
Yeah. And so he was, like, 2nd after Amumu, I believe, before.
Yeah, he had, like, a 54% win rate, I think.
That's
something around that.
How does that happen, though? How does, like, nerfs like that make the character go from the best jungler to the worst jungler? That's what I'm confused about.
Do we think it's one of those things that Colton touched on this last week during, I think, the Samira discussion? Do we think his ban rate dropped as a result of the nerfs and more people got to play him and more people did poorly because he's OP? Because I'm in the same page with you. I don't think this should have lowered his win rate by, you know, close to 10%. But obviously it did.
His ban rate only dropped by 16%. Yeah, 16%.
I have absolutely no clue then.
He went from 3rd most banned to 6th most banned. Like, that's... I don't know. It just, like, those numbers don't make sense to me that he, like... That they would drop that much, I guess. Like, did also his items get nerfed as well next last patch, or, like...
I don't think so. Gorgrinker didn't get nerfed, right?
Yeah, that's so strange. I just don't understand. Like, that's bug level of, like, dropping win rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I am not sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to theorize it, because, like, I think 1 second seems really small, but with how often he casts his Q, it's a lot bigger, because it's like,
well,
one second on a very short cooldown ability is a lot longer.
Yeah.
It's got to be that plus the damage reduction itself. So he's losing, not only does it take him 1 second longer, but he's also essentially losing 20 damage.
Yeah.
Every time he does it.
Yes, well. So he's taking more. So, like, his first clear with these 3 changes might have gone down, like, 150 health and 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. And he also, I guess, Red Cane as well. He also, his healing is attached to the damage he deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that also did something, which would be really weird and stupid.
All of those things considered, I don't know how his win rate goes from literally behind Amumu, who, like,
either
is god tier stupid, to the worst in the game. Like, that's so crazy. Like, I you don't see shit like that
sense.
Unless there's bugs. Like, honestly, yeah. I don't think there is a bug because they've, like, done changes and they're buffing him instead of, like, reverting a bug fix or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's just insane. I've never seen, like, someone's win rate drop like that. That being said, it is funny seeing a character. I hate when characters get, like, changes 7 patches in a row. And it feels like Kane's going to start getting that treatment. So
it's just extra frustrating because I feel like there are characters who need help more than Kane, even at his, like, 46% win rate place. Mm-hmm. And he had these nerfs for a week. Less than a week when they decided to actually go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is, like, pretty frustrating, but...
Yeah, that it was like, oh, well, he's underperforming, so we're going to just go ahead and put him back. And then there are other characters who have been problematic or weak or too strong for weeks and weeks and months in some cases. And it's like, so we noticed the problem with Kane and fixed it in 3 days, but we're not going to do anything about anything else?
I mean, let's just go down the list, like... Mendo has a 43% win rate.
Yeah.
How, like, are we not looking at him right off the bat? I don't know. Trundle, a jungler.
No, but Malphite does need to get nerfed. Too much magic resist.
Yeah. Like, that's not the issue. That Malphite taking 4 MRs worth of damage is not the problem here.
Yeah.
But whatever. Hopefully, they said they're not putting out a patch in the next 2 weeks. They're obviously taking a break for the holidays. Hopefully this shit will be fixed come January, but enjoy seeing Kane. again. We thought we were away from him.
I do think there are problems. Like, if you ever do nerf a character and their win rate drops by 8%, you probably want to revert something. And I think that's fine, but it just is crazy that he was like, I just don't know how that changes. It'd be so funny if they revert these and he goes back up to, like, top three win rate. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I'm on the Kane train, so.
Yeah. Sick. So that's it for that patch. Let's get into the starries. The first one is from Mersora, who says they are well informed, 5 stars. Hey, LeeCast, I wanted to finally leave a review because I have enjoyed content for months and look forward to listening every week. I've tried other League podcasts, but you all are, in my opinion, the most informed about the game, and others sometimes seem confused about basic mechanics and abilities. I also enjoy the comedy between the group and over sincerity for the well-being of the game. Please keep up the great work, and I'll be sure to write in soon. The Forever Hardstuck Vel'Koz support main, Mersora P's preseason, is the League of One Shot in Sore Attitudes. Make Vel'Koz tanky, please. Mersora.
True. Make Vel'Koz tanky.
That would be pretty cool to see, like, Vel'Koz just walking through a team.
I think you definitely could go a route where you make him, like, way tankier.
But, like, with a focus on ability haste, maybe?
I think you'd probably would need to do a different character, in all honesty, that's, like, similar to him, where, like, it's it's a void creature, like, multi-hit, like, they're gonna get you a bunch of times, and eventually it's just gonna, like, start dealing true damage to you, if they can, like, keep on you, or, like, keep the laser hitting you or something, I don't know.
We have that. That's called Riftmaker.
True. You're right. Everyone can be that character.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well.
Thank you, Mersora.
Yeah, next one is from Musical Woofie. He says, hi. How's your day going? I just want to say I love your podcast and love the chill vibe you guys have. I know you've been playing League for a long time, and I just wanted to ask, how long have you guys known each other? And how/why did you decide to start making this podcast? Till next time, Musical Woofie. Woofie, woofie, woofie.
I feel like we've known each other for probably like 8 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Around there?
Yeah, I'd say about that.
We didn't initially make the podcast. We are actually all transplants.
Usurpers. And
have taken over other people's roles. But I think, at least with Aiden and I, we both were fans initially and wanted to get more involved. Spent a lot of time in the community, became like pretty big community members who then transitioned onto the show. Colton,
tell my origin story.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so again, back when it started, it was our boy Chris, original Papa League cast, like capital P Papa.
Father Christopher.
And, you know, he was doing the show with, you know, Alex Henderson and Rick and Jacob and all those people back then. But I had been writing the show since the very beginning, everyone's parts. So, you know, after like 6 years of me writing all of the League cast content and everyone's segments, I figured I might as well start taking some credit for it. And so I started to also be performing one of the parts that I wrote.
He mostly got mad because everyone's getting their lines wrong.
Yeah. So I decided to just write all the good ones for me and all the bad ones so that I could talk more. No,
you could sort through it, yeah.
Yeah, but so Aiden and Nick joined, like you said, as fans that became community-like members and then became more prominent and eventually kind of jumped into that host role. I had been friends with Chris and like the other old, you know, former hosts through my older brother who went to school with all of them, and I was a couple years behind and like hung out in the team speak, but like never really did a whole lot community-wise with LeagueCast. It was just hanging out with all of the people, and eventually Chris asked me to join the show, and I was like, nah, fuck you, Chris, I hate League of Legends.
True story.
And then I kept doing the show anyway because I enjoy making myself miserable.
Well, that's factually true.
Yeah, you know it's true because I play a lot of solo queue.
But yeah, I don't want to say you've sort of like always been around, but you sort of have, you know, necessarily as a fan like Aiden and I have, but
I was in like the team speak playing solo queue in like a channel alone while everyone else was like hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know, I'm just trying to play ranked games. And like eventually it became like closer friends with all of them and hanging out. But you know, like I've been associated with like the group of old hosts into like current hosts since like back to season one.
Probably, I mean, before that, right? Like you guys are, we're, well, Warren at least was real life friends with a lot of the hosts.
Yeah, so his friendships went back, I think, earlier than that. I think most of them I all met like my freshman year of high school,
mm-hmm.
when I was finally considered old enough to
a
not
real
be
boy.
Yeah, when I was finally a real boy, and Warren was like, shit, if I bring this guy to the LAN, he's not gonna just, you know, be an absolute annoyance. And turns out I stole all of his friends.
True. Yeah, so that's kind of it. Sweet, a little glimpse into male fight.
Mm-hmm. Right, a little glimpse
awesome.
Into history.
Thank you, Musical Wuffy. Moving on, Aiden, why don't you tell us about your finally selected cheese?
It's bad, man. It's just not good. I told
okay,
Nick,
you're not telling us very well.
So like the idea is, once again, whenever I get Nick to play cheese pick, I just say, Nick, you're playing this, and I'm not going to tell you what it is until we get in. So I lock in Yumi, as one does, and then I go, Nick, you're playing Soraka AD carry. And then he's like, I'm not playing Soraka AD carry, I'm playing her as a maid. I'm like, okay, that's fair, because this one is a little silly to try to get you to play AD carry. I do think it's probably better AD carry than
I think stuff. So too. Alternatively, I should not build support items. I should just go AP.
You did troll us because you built the item that heals me, and the whole point of this bottom lane is that level one, I int myself as Yumi and get myself below 40% HP, and then I attach to Soraka, and he has the Soraka movement speed for running at a low HP target the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an AD carry that just has like 550 movement speed, like level one is the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that's the whole cheese.
Yes, that's all right. So this was the one I had seen on Reddit that like some Korean streamer. Like the Korean Vandrill was playing, and it looked so funny and really fun to play. I kind of like, I want to try it real bad where it's like a jungle Soraka, or even I think you could probably do it where it's like Yumi's the one that takes Smite and takes like a couple of the camps for levels, and then like Soraka keeps running mid real fast to like sweep up mid CS, but isn't gonna get the debuff because mm-hmm. she's not the one who has Smite. I think you could probably make that like weird as hell funnel jungle mid pairing.
Sounds terrible.
Like, yes, it does, but oh my god, dude, imagine the Soraka Yumi coming out of nowhere, invading your red buff at 600 movement speed. And
hey, fair enough.
You.
Fair enough.
It's Taric Yi, but improved because Soraka.
Because you're
either way, it is dog, it's not pog, but it was fun. It was fun to play because we one lane, I'd say like 1 through 4, and then we started losing lane, but then we just team fought as Soraka Yumi, and we just won the game.
Yeah, it felt utter dog shit until we got into the support or into the double support team fighting game, and then it felt fantastic. So
we kind of had quad support for our Yone. We had Shen top, Ivern jungle, then Yone mid. So he just
and
got
then
to
our
slap.
Yone sucked. So eventually, eventually,
her
it just
AP
became
Ivern
the Ivern show.
Yeah, AP Ivern seems good though.
I think it's nasty actually. They buffed him so hard.
Is that Imperial Mandate still though?
I
don't know what he went.
Could. I know that Tyler's been trying Night Harvester and he's been enjoying it.
Ooh, okay.
Pog.
Yeah.
It's
no,
pretty dog unless you're in a like a pre mid or something. It would be.
Yeah.
I conceded the point that it would be better if Colton were the carry. So,
yeah. Cool.
I just like running fast, man. Any cheese pick where I get to run real fast, sign me up.
I do want to play more Braum Katarina. That was a lot of fun. I think it's actually like not bad.
Definitely. Poggers. Cool. Moving on to competitive league. We've got the LCS format changes are live. Essentially, we're going to have a pre-season tournament, I guess. It's a weird way to say it. There's going to be a regular season spanning across spring and summer. Halfway between, there will be a mid-season tournament. And finally, there will be an end-of-season tournament. There will be 5 games a day for 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think that it's going to be a double round robin.
More
than that. Like quad?
It should be 3, shouldn't it?
No, it's going to be a quintuple round robin. Double round robin in the spring split, triple round robin in the summer split.
Cool.
So pretty exciting. It looks like the playoffs are either the same or go back to a normal format.
Oh, playoffs are the same way where so there'll be playoffs like mid season, but that's just for, like, for to qualify for MSI sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's like a tournament at the beginning, short split, tournament that leads into MSI, long split, and then tournament that's like for world qualification.
Yeah, for worlds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's 45. They all play 45 games instead of 36 now each team. So they all play one more game, and the splits just are a combined like total. That's like the main thing to take away.
It's weird how they'd rather do 5 round robins than just a double round robin with best of 3.
They've said that they're not doing best of 3s because viewership is dead for that.
They say it, and I know why. I just don't like it.
It's trash.
And I'm gonna fight it at every chance I get. Yeah. I'm gonna wield my small modicum of publicity to complain about not having best of 3s.
All right. As soon as you hear back from Riot, let us know.
Okay.
Lock-in tournament's a really cool idea, though. A tournament to start off the split is like really fun. I think so.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think a no, not to say no stakes, but very little stakes tournament like that is super cool, especially coming off preseason, because we can see some wild shit for a tournament that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that can be incredibly like impactful in the early portion of the season. Like, I think that's super cool.
Do you think there is any player that will be benched because of their performance in the tournament?
Absolutely not.
I think
someone could run it down every single game and they won't be benched from the tournament. Like, they won't be benched before week one.
That's what you think, that no matter what, everyone will play week one based on their tournament performance.
If there are roster changes prior to week one, after tournament but prior to week one, I do not think those roster changes will be performance related.
Okay. I tend to agree with you. That being said, I do think there are teams that just are like super fucking like trigger happy about shit like that.
You know, to max min, yeah.
Yeah, they go, yeah. Well, this player fucking lost lane 3 games in a row. Time to fucking throw them in the garbage chute.
Fair enough.
Time to cancel their contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially like the teams that have like more like amateur players where like they don't have huge contracts. Like, they could just go, let's take amateur player number 3 instead.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I don't think so either. But either way, awesome format. Really excited about it. Nick, one question for you, because you never liked the LCS championship format. Do you like the fact that there's still 8 teams in it a little bit more now that the splits are combined?
I do.
You still think it's problematic, but it's like at least better?
I mean, I'm going to say that any playoffs in which 80% of the teams get there aren't the best. Just as a baseline, I don't think that's I don't think that's a great way to determine who should represent the region as a whole. I don't want to see an 8th place team struggle through a split, pop off in 2-3 best of 3s, and then get to represent the region. But at the same time, like, I can appreciate an underdog run like that, I suppose.
I think it is slightly better now that the splits are combined, though, because you could have like whatever team goes 0-9 or whatever, how many games they play first split, right? and then they make roster changes, and in Split 2, they need to come down from being down 9 games, so they might make, like, 7th or 8th sort of thing, and they could have, like, a decent team. And I think, like, that's... It makes it more valuable having 8 teams now than it did. I don't think it's still perfect, but I think it's better.
No, I think so, too. I do think that having every single game matter, unlike having Spring Split not matter at all, is super sick. So... I'm excited.
Oh, Nick, I did actually just get an email back from Riot Games about the best of three format. Yeah, it says, Dear Mr. Basket, we here at Riot Games appreciate your concern and believe that a best of three format, while preferable to some, would not be in the best interest of the company.
Oh.
Let's see here. What do you think next? We do not want to have to pay for NA players to be housed at Worlds after the group stages. So we ensure that the competitive integrity of the league is low enough that they don't make it out of groups. That makes sense.
That's fucking funny. Well done, Colton.
Thank you.
Round table?
Round table.
Hell yeah. Last week's question was, who do you think is the best ARAM champion and why? From our Twitter, we got one from Jamie. Says, whenever I play Morgana on ARAM, I dumpster fools. One landed Q usually means someone dies. Black Shield means someone lives. Flash ult stasis just absolutely kills when you have 5 people diving turret. Hell yeah. CG said, Nico Snowball ult, recast Snowball equals insta win. One of the cheesiest engages in ARAM.
Braden, so fun.
Yes, it's so sick. Braden says, I almost always jump on Kayle when I see her. She's pretty garbage for the first couple levels, but after a couple items, she can do a lot of damage. And even if you aren't doing well, you could always be an alt bot for the carries. I agree. And our last one from Twitter is from Kevin. He says, my thoughts turn to Brand and Lux. I think Lux edges out Brand's raw damage output because of Lux's crowd control is just so much more reliable. Her kit lends so well to ability haste. Small additional safety measures with her W is also pro on her sheet. Hell yeah. I think Lux W is like the main reason why she's better than Brand. I think Brand's damage is better than Lux's, but
I mean it is.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. From our Facebook, we got from one from Elliot. He says, I think with how Seraphine works, she's just really busted now in ARAM. I also enjoy Lulu. Bonnie said, I mean Teemo is really good, and I think Shaco is sleeper OP. I just don't know how to play Shaco on ARAM. And then Greg says, Sona is sneaky OP. She was designed to be a buff AoE. She was designed to buff AoE in teamfights. Yeah. And then from our Discord, I pulled a couple answers. One from Dowski says, Nautilus, with hook so big, you can't miss you can't miss when going fishing. Trovarin says, AP Janna is OP. Huge shields, great poke, and a big AoE heal. Everything you need for ARAM. I feel like, yeah, you're just using Janna heal for, like, Janna ult for heal is, like, insane on ARAM, to be honest.
Chugs which is crazy because her healing's cut in half.
Yeah, it's still, like, big, though. It's, like, kind of, like, a way better... It's like if you got all the health relics, but more. Chug says Lux has a team-wide shield every 10 seconds or so, plus insane poke and CC. Yeah. And then last but not least, H-Fire says, full tank Glacial slash Aftershock Veigar. Emax first, Q second, team-wide, almost avoidable stun, scaling damage even with a tank build. More annoying than a team of 5 Teemos. I miss bans just for this game. Just for this champ, on the off chance that someone plays him like this. Also, I play him like this every time I get him because it's free. Yeah, fuck people who play tank Veigar. Can we just, like, say that?
Yep.
You're a loser if you play tank Veigar.
Yeah, it's so fucking annoying, man.
Yeah.
Especially cool. When you used to be able to go, like, Rod of Ages into tank Veigar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So you still have a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week's question, though, is what would be your passive in League of Legends?
All right, I'm gonna build off of the Garen villain system, but it's reverse, where instead of me gaining damage and it being a benefit, it is a detriment for me to have a villain. If I die to a champion, they become like my nemesis or something, and they do bonus damage to me, and it just gets increasingly like frustrating. I think it immediately transfers, and someone becomes my nemesis permanently if they crit me and it kills me.
Really, if they sad. Crit you with like under 50% crit and it kills you.
Fair enough. If it's less than a coin flip, fuck yourself, Riot Games.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have less than 50%, they always crit you anyway, so seems really strong.
Yeah. True.
Aiden, what would your passive be?
So mine would be like some sort of like sleep regen thing, because I can fall asleep kind of like anywhere really, really easily. So like, okay, if I just like stop moving for like more than 5 seconds, I would just regen like a ton of health.
Nice, nice. You would like sleep yourself, and like during that time you'd get a bunch of health regen, but you couldn't wake yourself up. Maybe.
Yeah, or I'd be an energy character, and like I'd have a huge energy bar. Like I'd have like 1,000 energy, but like it would be slow to regen unless I was standing still. Then it'd regen like 100 per second. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So my passive in League of Legends. It would be a pretty big like programming undertaking, but I think how it would work is like every now and then, like the game would just like pause for like 2 or 3 minutes, and every character in the game other than me would be asleep, and then I would just be sitting there gaining experience playing the game by myself while all of my friends were asleep.
That sounds like normal.
That's me, Nick. I'd be playing League of Legends, the single player game.
Interesting.
That was the best I had.
Well done.
Hell yeah. If you want to tell us what your passive would be in League of Legends, you can hit us up on our Facebook page or our Twitter at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or post in our roundtable, post in our Discord in our roundtable section. That's leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
Pog, that takes us to Mail Fight. First email is from Mr. Lover. Subject, best ARAM champ. So I wanted to start by saying that I was originally going to respond to this roundtable over Twitter, but as I started to type, I realized that I had too much to say on Twitter, so I took to the email. When talking about the best ARAM champion, one must first consider what it means to be the best. Is the best champion simply the strongest, or is it the one who impacts the game the most, provides the most utility, so on and so forth? To me, the definition of the best ARAM champion is more than that of the simple answer of who is the strongest. There's an argument to be made that Akali is the most powerful ARAM champion because she is strong already and receives a massive buff on ARAM. But despite the fact that she holds massive power, if your team rolls an Akali, it's possible that no one will take her, or that taking her would be a detriment to your team because no one has the mechanical prowess to play her. So for that reason, I believe that the best ARAM champ cannot simply be the strongest one, because if no one can play them, they won't be good. Simple enough. The next important factor to consider is team composition. One might consider Vel'Koz or Xerath or Ziggs a challenger for title of best ARAM champion. They're easy to play for anyone to be able to pick them up. They provide strong poke and lots of damage, but if your team rolls mostly AP, they still might not be a great choice because opponent itemization may become too easy, or the enemy might roll into a strong counter. This adds another layer to be considered. The champion must be strong, easy enough to play for anyone to pick up, and must fit at least partially well into any comp or against any comp. It is for these three reasons that I believe I have a tier of very strong champions. Champions like Blitz, Senna, and Ornn are all examples of characters that fit these three categories, but there is one that I believe stands above the rest, Amumu. His kit could not be easier. His itemization allows him to run tank or bruiser AP so he can fit into virtually any composition, and his ultimate provides utility and can essentially cover the width of the map. There are many good answers to this roundtable question, but I believe there are none to be better than the sad mummy himself. Sorry for the research paper-length email, Mr. Lover. Excellent answer, and congratulations on defending your master's, your doctor, your dissertation.
Oh yeah.
Pog. I think that's Amumu's a really good pick. I think we mentioned him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think I still good. Think
he's
like
definitely our, part of the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, I think our agreed upon one is still like Leona, though. I feel like she does fit in that. Like, she's easy to play, doesn't require like certain damage compositions and stuff like that, which all fall into the yes, that she's the best because she doesn't even need to be like comp specific, I think. But
yeah, and I think that like Amumu, Leona, and Braum, or sorry, no, sorry, Ornn, are like really, really great examples of it. I think the thing that puts Leona over the top is like Ornn can engage from further range, but that's a lot easier to dodge and play around, and like Amumu can apply more CC, but that's only if he gets in, whereas Leona has like that R button. If you're good at the character, at least decent, like you're gonna hit somebody at the very least with like a 99% slow, and then you should connect your E. And once you get into actual fights, your Q is on like a 3-second cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's insane.
It's pretty crazy.
But yeah, no, Amumu, Ornn, Leona are they're up in that upper echelon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I Nick and I talked about this a couple of days ago. I think we talked about it on the stream for the tournament that we had. But I would love to see LCS play be only ARAMs for like a split.
Replace LCS ring split with ARAM split.
Exactly.
Not because, like, I think it's better for watching, but I really do like seeing how games strategy evolves at the top level, right? Because what are the best ARAM picks? What are the best ARAM comps? Like, we list these characters that we think are strong, but I'm sure if there was, like, a competitive scene for ARAM at, like, the LCS level, like, shit would evolve in a way different way than, like, we look at it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it might start at that. I mean, I think we're all fairly representative of, like, the, you know, upper 2% of players, I think, is where Diamond cuts off.
Yeah.
Some of us aren't Diamond, Colton.
Yeah, Nick, you are. I don't care. if you've been Diamond, like, 6 years out of the last 7, guess what? You're a Diamond level player.
Hey, fair enough.
You hear that,
Riot Games?
I'm just kidding. Yeah. But, like, I think that's where it would start. But I think you're absolutely right, Aiden, that you would start, like, seeing this weird innovation and, like, things that, like, nobody else was thinking of. And I think we saw a little subset of that with, like, threes back in the day, where, like, what the top threes teams were playing was, like, its own unique submeta.
Yeah. It's completely different. Because, like, you'd have, yeah, like, at like anything below like platinum, it would just be like people just laning or whatever. But then you would always have a jungle like hybrid, what's it called? Funnel comp.
You'd have a support funneling the jungler and then a solo lane. And then like, you know, it evolved even more of like, who are the best ones at this? And like, how can we maybe run a comp with an AD carry instead, which is going to be able to counteract that damage, but not give up all of this jungle experience. Like there was a lot of like things that just like, these are never conversations to have really about Summoner's Rift. Cause it's a different set of goals mm-hmm. entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that's super interesting. Like once again, yeah, if we saw like LCS play fucking 3v3 for like a split, dude, it would be insane. The meta would be fucking wild.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You never get to see stuff like that at like the highest level. So
they should make that the play-in scene is ARAM. So it's like it's a hyperbolic time chamber for mechanics, and everyone's just getting super good at team fighting. And then if you're good enough, they're like, all right, guys, now you made it to number one ARAM team. Time to learn macro.
That's funny.
That'd be crazy. Well, thank you, Mr. Lover, for the email.
Yeah, next one we have here is from Dippy. Subject, learning every role, and climbers, D&D dreams. I absolutely advocate for League players being passable in all roles. If you know all 5, you can understand better what to expect from your teammates, their positioning, as well as what the enemy team will want to do next. Learning all 5 roles is, in my opinion, just as important as playing a few games of the champion you struggle against to know how to play against them better. Also, Climber, this is for you. Riot has licensed an RPG called Rune Arcana. It's a free 471-page PDF that is compatible with good old 5e Dungeons & Dragons. I haven't looked at the book yet, only seen a couple, or a Reddit post by the creator of it, but it has additional classes, origins, creatures, additional spells, as well as detailed depictions of the regions in Runeterra. He linked the Reddit post of this person basically homebrewing Runeterra for a 5e style system, which I looked through it a little bit. It's very hype. I am a big proponent of build your own world and add shit you like to it.
Of nerd shit.
Yeah, of nerd shit. so yeah, I mean, I normally will run my games in like my own setting that is often like just a jumbled mix of a bunch of different things I like, whether it be that I'm like pulling in elements from Lord of the Rings or League of Legends or like whatever, you know. Fucking go wild with it, Climber. I hope you enjoy that. Again, it's Rune Arcana, RuneArcana. So check that out, man.
Pog. Next email is from Anxious Penguin. Hey, League Cast Squad, you spent a good amount of time in the last show talking about removing rolled queue from ranked, and I wanted to see if I could contribute. A lot of your supporting evidence seemed to be around making the players in the game better and more well-rounded, but my question is, does Riot really balance their solo queue around that? Now, my opinion is limited because I don't play a ton. I play ARAMs if I'm solo generally and have a few friends I play ranked with. I generally like to play top lane, the big beefy boys that can just go in. You could call me a for fun kind of player generally. If I'm on the fence about playing the game tonight and I were to get queued jungle, I'd probably not really feel like it anymore and not have a ton of fun that game. Do you think Riot would risk alienating some of their fan base, money, in order to produce better pro caliber players? Seems like they generally like to balance the masses. Anyways, just my two cents. I could see my overall enjoyment dropping if I can't just queue up, play a game with a champ slash role I love, and then move on. I could be off base here, and maybe more serious players that play more than a couple games a week might not care as much, but what do you guys think? Thanks, and an obligatory apology for the length of this email, Anxious Penguin. I think that's a really good aspect that we didn't touch on.
I think the main thing is that it's a ranked queue.
Yeah, it would just be for ranked, yeah.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't be normals, but in, like, the whole point is that, like, this would create the best ranked experience, and I guess, yeah, if you enjoy playing the game less if you're forced in other roles, but then maybe, like, competitive league isn't for you, right? That'd be my, like, counter-argument, but I think that's a good point to raise. I just think that, like, I don't know, ranked should be balanced around, like, the best ranked experience, I guess, like, to create the most competitive games, and if that means you're enjoying it less, you don't get to play certain things. Like, I think that's a, once again, it's a spectrum, right? Where I have less fun playing ranked because I can't play Blitzcrank top, right? But, like, yeah. Obviously that's, like, a silly, like, I'm being silly about that. I'm not saying, like, your point's, like, shit or anything. I just think that that is a point on the spectrum. And, like, I don't know where you fall on determining what's better for the ranked queue versus your own enjoyment, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I do think, in ensuring that it is like that, we all know that it's just ranked is important. Because if you're just playing a normal, yeah, play whatever you want. I think that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could see both sides of it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, look at Overwatch, right? So, like, Overwatch, you get ranked for the three different queue types, right? DPS, tank, support. But, like, it's impossible to fucking find games for DPS, man. Your queue time's, like, actually, like, 20 times as long as, like, really? The other things. So it's just like, yeah, if you only enjoy playing DPS in the game, then you probably have less fun because you can't even queue your role, right?
Yeah,
but so, I don't know, that's a balance.
That's a big issue in World of Warcraft as well, where tanks and healers generally have instant queues, and for even just regular dungeons, which are, you know, 15-20 minutes max,
yeah,
well, DPS players can wait close to an hour to get into a single one. So yeah, I could see that as well. You know, queue times are one of the more almost like not talked about aspects of ranked, where even though they are discussed, they are so heavily, like, impactful that they almost are the only thing. If no one's, like, if everyone's waiting to play the game, no one's playing the game and enjoying it. You know, you have less games being played in the day. You know, if you have it an hour and it's going to take you 15 minutes to get into a game, that game might be super high quality, but that's one game that you're getting to play instead of potentially two. So just something like that to think about.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I think I am. So I do think that they should remove rule queue, right? Because I do think that people should play everything and it would create a better ranked environment overall. That being said, I do think Riot currently has the luxury of having a big enough player base to be able to support having role queue, for example, and not have queuing mid take. Like, queuing mid does take longer at, like, higher elos, obviously, but not like 20x longer or anything like that.
Yeah, it's you go from like a 2 minute to maybe three, or at the upper levels, you go from like a 5 minute to an 8 minute queue.
Maybe that's something that you change, like, when the game dies down a little bit and, like, you need to start cutting things like that to make the game better, right? Like, maybe that's a two birds in one stone thing, and you currently just take this, like, crazy luxury of having the biggest player base in all of, like, PC games.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I feel like you could also really, like, and there's going to be, like, arguments you can make about any system, but I feel like just having the, like, pick one role that you're not
would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think if that was just the default, though, is like, you don't pick a role, you just pick one role that you think is your weakest and you don't want to play. because then again, you get like the well-rounded players, and like everyone kind of plays everything. But you also have like, okay, you know, I just really don't want to fucking play jungle today. Like, that's not the mood I want, you know. And mm-hmm. and you can still like ask for your preferred one when you get into champ select or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that like there is a little bit of like a possibility that in the world where you just pick the one role you don't want, maybe some players' egos are a little bit worse because you're being asked to identify your weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and then like people might work to address them, and it's not like I play mid every game. I'm gonna hard carry mid. If you don't give me mid, I'll int on purpose just to like get like fuck yeah. you. You didn't give me my role, and you know that shift from I want to be the very best at one thing. It's just like maybe that opinion changes more to a like. Hey, like, I want to make sure that I'm not a detriment to the team.
Yeah,
but, I don't think really actually happen because, you know,
League of Legends players are League of Legends players. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I do think a lot of these things, like, are being addressed with, like, client updates as well. Like, one of the biggest issues in old League of Legends with, like, just pick order was that people would just troll you, right? If they're not getting mid, they're going to troll you sort of thing. But, like, they're adding, like, champion select reporting and stuff like this. And if all this stuff is working properly, then I think we can just create a better, like, ranked experience, like, overall. But we'll see. I don't know. I do think League has the biggest player base, so they can kind of do whatever they want right now. But I would love to see it, man. I would love to go back to the days of, like, I have to play every role. I feel like I would enjoy League more if I had to play every role. But it's just not optimal to play every role in ranked.
Yeah, sure. But also... Q for Phil every game, like me.
Yeah.
I also, not to like, I don't want to like pick on you, Aiden. I don't think this sentiment is. I really wish Riot would stop approaching things from like the perspective of how do we implement this in a way that people won't be toxic?
Yeah.
Because I think people are going to be toxic regardless. And I really wish it would just be, how do we implement this to create the best experience possible?
Mm-hmm.
So like, yes, you will get some games in which you get trolled into oblivion. Like, what is the difference from them picking like a meta character in the role that they're given and just running it down? You know, that possibility is still going to be there. Like, same thing with voice chat. It's going to be offensive sometimes. There are going to be people who, you know, are incredibly rude, but it is going to make the game quality and your enjoyment of ranked specifically so much higher. In my opinion, that I think it's ridiculous that it hasn't been implemented yet. So I don't know. I wish they would stop approaching it from this, like, how can we protect everyone, like, as much as possible, mm-hmm. into like, let's just make this game good because everyone's going to be shitty sometimes.
And it's not like that's like a bad thing for them to do either. Like, it's important to have like a place that you feel like you're not going to be attacked for like stuff, right? But I just feel like that stuff could be addressed separately rather than like making that the number one issue, right?
No. And I think a good example of this is like, we are finally getting like lever remakes for things beyond, you know, the first 3 minutes if someone doesn't connect for the first time in a decade. Like, this should have come as soon as they realized the game was getting big, probably end of season one, start of season two, this should have been implemented. And it's just crazy that it hasn't been, like, it's just getting implemented this season.
Mm-hmm. So it's wild.
But yeah, thank you for the email. That was the Crag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anxious Penguin.
No, I skipped back. Penguin. The Crag is the next one. There we go. Next one is from the Crag. Hey, gamers, very long time ago, around the start of coronavirus, you said in an episode that AD carry players should stop using abilities to clear waves and, if possible, get every minion with auto attacks. This helped me very much because before I was unable to follow up on any engages my support did because I didn't have any mana. Now I play much more aggressive because I can and because I have more fun because of it. Anyway, I pride myself in my ability to play very high attack speed AD carries. However, most of them would build crit and are therefore horrible at the moment. I was wondering if maybe Azir would be a good alternative. I played him once in the bottom lane and had a lot of fun, but I don't know if he's actually good. So I want your guys' opinion. Stay gaming, gamers. See ya later.
If you want to play high attack speed AD carries, play someone who gets to build Rage Blade at the moment, or play Kog'Maw with Navori Quick Blade, and don't build Rage Blade, because then you get perma uptime W and it's crazy.
Yeah. I would also say, like, I think Azir is a good champion and kind of always will be. I think he's similar to Orianna in that way. Mm-hmm. I think as an AD or as a bot lane carry, he's not as great. Just because he really, really needs levels.
Yeah. A lot of his damage comes from items, but a lot of his damage and playmaking potential comes from levels. And having that extra damage to propel a late game carry into the late game is nice. I don't think it's awful. It's just not... If you're going to play Azir, play him in the mid lane where he can excel, you know? But
yeah. As for, again, the high attack speed AD carries, I think Kog'Maw is definitely an option. There's plenty of bomb hits you can go right now. Like Vayne, you can definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can go... not quite like full attack speed on hit Varus, but I think Varus is definitely playable right now. So like there's options. AP Twitch is something you could also consider, whether as a support or as a AD. You have really high attack speed for those first three Hail of Blade Q empowered autos.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy that like they're gonna keep buffing Twitch until it becomes an AP character.
Yeah. But no, yeah, other than that, I mean, if part of it is that you just like having a high APM, you could consider like trying to dip your toes into the, like, I'm going to play a character like Riven, who's going to be doing a bunch of animation cancels, mm-hmm. or you can try and like, there are certain characters where you can like, if you have a lot of movement speed and can stick on people, like, I know for me, just when I'm kiting and I get to click a lot of buttons really fast, like, that feels good, so... When I get That's to also do that on certain, like, melee characters, like Shyvana with that, like, on-hit build, it's like, you get to do the same thing but also be a melee character.
Yeah. Just play Master Yi, then.
Yeah, just play Master Yi.
Pog.
Yeah,
thank you, Craig. Next email is from Gavin, who says, subject, biggest pet peeves in League. Hey, LeeCast, it's me, Gavin, back with my second email. I was wondering what your guys' biggest pet peeves are in casual League game modes. For example, mine is probably building tank and Aram. Like, every character has damage ratios or a fun way to build them. Like, fun move speed Varimus or AP Cho or Lethality Sion. I don't know. It just ruins Aram for me, because if the enemy team gets two tanks, I feel like it's an auto loss because tank itemization is fair XD. But anyways, wanted to know what annoys you guys in casual game modes. Thanks for the amazing podcast and keep up the good work, fellas. Gavin. The most annoying thing to me, and I've let it be known loud and clear, I don't like when people try to... When their priority in rotating game modes and fun game modes is to win and not to have fun. Why are you spamming, you know, Graves every single Nexus Blitz game? Like, stop picking meta characters. Play something wild and fun. Stop split pushing in
every game mode is competitive. I need to win for my blue essence.
For real. That's what it seems like. But have fun playing this fun video game that you play for fun.
No.
How about you? You got one, Colton?
Oh, man.
A pet peeve in a fun game mode?
Yeah, so I think, yeah, just picking, like, obscene characters, like, either that are super strong in the game mode, or, like, picking your, like, hardcore one trick in non-ranked Summoner's Rift, like, you know, if you have, like, a million points on Gragas, and then you go into, like, your Earth games, and all you play is Gragas, like, come on, man, like... Try something else. Have fun in this, like, you know, open sandbox that they're giving you. I'd say that's probably it. Like, just the general sentiment of these four fun game modes that people take way too seriously. But I can also see that it's like, if that's how you enjoy is min-maxing anything, like, I guess there's a world where I'm fine with it. It's just...
Yeah,
that's not what I want to do, so I don't want to play against it in my games.
I agree. It just seems to happen far too frequently for it to be every single person max minning on their main every single game, you know? Like, at some point, you're just picking good shit to try to win, and that, to me, ruins the point of a fun game mode.
Yeah.
Pog. Thank you, Gavin.
Pog you. Next one is from Ibra? Ibra? It's an I, right?
Ibra, I think.
I think it's
Yeah,
Ibra.
It's an I.
Hey, guys. I have been listening to the podcast for a while. Super enjoyable to listen to during my commute. And I swear to God, Aiden has the exact same voice as my one of my friends, Keith. It was very scary at first.
It is Keith.
He is Keith.
Aiden's his stage name.
Anyways, I needed some advice. I'm struggling a lot on settling on a lane to play consistently. I'm a gold player trying to push for plat next season, but I cannot seem to put my finger on the role I want to play. I mostly play conqueror abusers like Aurelia, Renekton, and Darius in the top lane, but lately I'm also really enjoying Katarina, Akali, and Cassiopeia in the mid lane. I was told to play jungle if I wanted to climb, and I somewhat agree with that choice, so I picked up Rost. I like how he calls it what it is. Because Blue Cane does.
I lock in Rost.
I want them to disable the Blue Cane option from my game.
You shouldn't be able to pick Blue Cane in ranked.
Yeah, true. You shouldn't. You really shouldn't. Rengar and Echo if we are needed. Rengar and Rost, and then also Echo if we need some AP. But now I really don't know what lane to play. I was hoping and receiving some guidance from you guys because I really want to hit plat this season. I refuse to adhere to the sorry for the long email group. Therefore, I'll just say you're welcome for the good content. Just kidding. Thanks for answering. What you guys do is great, and I'm looking forward to more POG episodes.
Hang on, real quick. Do you think they would ever disable one form of Kane rather than the entire champion if there were a bug?
No. They just disabled the character, I think.
Okay. I think they disabled the character, yeah.
I think so, too, but I thought it would be really funny if, like, Aiden queues up to play Kane. Blue Kane is banned or is globally banned, disabled. So he has
to play no evolve before red.
He has to play no evolve Kane instead of the good Kane.
I think the biggest issue with it is that like they would never do it because you could have that situation where it's like you picked and you didn't know, and like obviously if they tried to do that there would be like a hey, just before you lock in, you can only go red Kane, and people would still bitch and moan like, I locked it in my rank game, and I didn't realize until 5 minutes in that I could only go red, and that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Riot Game lost me my series.
Fair enough.
Jumping back to the conversation from last week and a little bit back this episode, like, I think we're all pretty big advocates of, like, play a little of everything. And so if you're enjoying hopping around, I don't think there's any issue with that. I would say, as someone who's been doing that in ranked since the beginning, it is going to slow down your climb just based on, like, number of games. And if you want to see success climbing with it, I think the best way to do it is to just kind of have, like, an alternating schedule of, like, I am going to jungle for 2, 3, 4 weeks. Or, like, I'm going to play primarily Kha'Zix's jungle for, like, 2 weeks. And then I can switch it up. And if you play, like, 2 weeks of Kha'Zix and then, like, 2 weeks of Katarina and then 2 weeks of Renekton, like, I think you're going to do a lot better than if you had just played 6 weeks, like, queuing Phil and playing one of those characters every other game. Like, if you're still trying to climb, I would just, like, go one at a time, and if it's really not working or you're not enjoying it anymore, that's when you're like, okay, I'm gonna switch.
Mm-hmm. Play whatever seems fun to you that game.
Yeah,
I tried it like for a lot of games last season, and it's not fun to put that pressure on yourself, especially when your goal is to, like, obviously having a goal to get to a certain rank is fine, but if that's your only motivating reason to play ranked, I don't think that's healthy. Play for fun. If Darius sounds fun this game, play Darius. You know, if you want to queue up and play Cassiopeia, go for it. I think that's my advice.
I would add as well that, like, improving at the game and improving at one role are very different things. And if you just focus on trying to play the game better, it doesn't really matter what role you're in and how often you play it. you know, if you can still at the end of the game look back, what mistakes did I make? How could I have played it better? If you, you know, actually read the patch notes and know if your character or items or build path got nerfed, like, mm-hmm. if you actively put effort into improving, you're going to make it from gold to plat. And I think anyone with enough time and, like, actual effort put in, like, plat is not a crazy goal for any mm-hmm. player.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people don't take the time to, like, analyze and work better. And I'm not one of those people. I just bashed my head against solo queue for 20,000 games and that worked for me, but people climb a lot faster than I ever did.
Yeah, fair enough. Pog, that'll Pog do it you. For this episode. Thank you, Ibra, for your email. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at LeeCast and at LeeCast Frost. On Facebook, we are LeeCast. You can send us emails to mail@leecastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout. Our website is leecastpodcast.com. If you'd like a Discord invite, it is leecastpodcast.com/invite. Or click on the widget on our homepage or send us an email and I'll make sure you get an invite. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leecast. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.